business. I know we're expecting Gordon on the line, but let's get started because we have a lot to do. So, first order of business, hopefully everyone's had a chance to look at the minutes, which were from October 22nd. I'll entertain a motion for discussion. Okay, is there a second?
Hello.
Hello, Gordon.
Yep, here I am.
Okay, we're just going through some initial housekeeping. Is there any discussion on the minutes? Carl, Bill Philly?
I'm going to abstain.
Because you were not?
Absent.
Okay.
You don't have to abstain when you're absent.
That's fine, though. No. You can. Is there any other discussion on the minutes? Okay. All in favor, accepting the minutes as presented? Aye.
Okay, I'm sorry. Who moved that?
Jeanette moved it, and Lynn seconded it. Okay, so we're going to move on to the beginning of the discussion of the reports. We have a lot to discuss, and we most importantly have to schedule several more meetings to get through it, because as everyone knows, we got the major report last evening, and so I know that everyone's going to need a little more time to go through it in detail. We're going to begin with the track and corridor inspection, which was submitted on November 10th, and that was Randy and Chase's notes.
That's not in your file. You handed that last week in the email for the meeting. I remind you to bring it.
Wow. I have a couple extra copies.
Okay. I'll open it for discussion. Does anyone have any beginning thoughts, comments, questions on the track and corridor inspection?
Now, which one are you, the IS and best use matrix? Is that what you're looking at?
No, we're looking at the track and corridor inspection because we had to cancel the last meeting. We never got to discuss the first technical report that came in, which had to do with the inspection of the corridor.
You have it, Jeanette.
I have it.
Thank you.
Jeanette.
All right, well, I'd like to just throw this out on the table to start a discussion. I personally was quite surprised when I got this, because to me, it represents a report on a Catskill Mountains proposed plans. Catskill Mountain Railroad. In fact, they referred to it. You know, they reviewed Catskill Mountain Railroad's proposed rail and trail alignment. And I don't believe that we certainly asked them to take a look at it, as we also requested he look at what was proposed from the executive's office or what other report was that, the Camoing study. There's a lot of studies that have been done. I was under the impression that we were paying this consultant to review all those reports and then look at the corridor and give us his opinion on what would be the best use, what would be the most difficult, what would be cost-effective or not, and that's not what we got. We got a copy of the Catskill Mountain Railroad plan, and he gave us a report on their plan. I mean, it just, for me, it made no sense. Maybe some of you are have a different opinion. I don't know. But, you know, and the fact that we get this first report, and then at the last minute, they have to change some of the verbiage because they've gotten the calls, and they said, wait a minute, it's not the Catskill Mountain Railroad corridor, it's the UND Railroad corridor, and there's so many other things. I'm quite disappointed, and personally, if that's what we're getting for $30,000, I'm not happy with it at all. There's no end of complete summary. It's just doing a report on other people's reports. We could have gotten probably anyone in the county to have done that.
And just for clarification for a moment, when you say there's no, and in terms of a summary, are you talking now about you're talking about the report itself, not the technical report.
Yeah. Okay. Usually you get a detailed summary with the, you know, what they think or what they believe on their expertise, not on reading other people's reports and commenting on them.
Okay. Lynn Archer.
In fairness, what we asked them to look at all of the reports that we had available.
I said that.
Including the Catskill Mountain, and to give us an assessment. And I would have to concur. I think that there's so many references here to the business plan, and quite frankly, I was hoping that an assessment of the business plan would be part of the process, and because I felt like there were huge gaps in the business plan that didn't include critical elements to a legitimate business plan that says we're looking at property to acquire so we can do build-out, so we can have parking. I mean, all of those critical elements were not included in a business plan. And to me, if we're talking about really assessing all the data we have, this is a regurgitation in my mind of what Catskill Mountain already presented as their business plan for the quarter. And not to say that you don't have a good insight into the conditions of the quarter, et cetera, but to me, that's not what we asked for from a consultant that we were hoping would bring a level of expertise from a railroad point of view that we didn't have. And that is what I think is so disappointing in this. I mean, I felt like I was reading the other report all over again.
Mm-hmm. I do want to just make a point of clarification, which Randy will talk about in a minute. There are some technical memos in terms of deliverables that are missing. And when I spoke to Randy, because we were coming on the timeline of the final report, Randy said to me, well, it's all going to be in the report, but I do think we're going to need to see those technical memos. One case in point is the memo that addresses the analysis of the key studies and the interviews with the stakeholders, which would include which stakeholders were interviewed. I have a sense of which stakeholders were interviewed. I haven't confirmed that with Randy, but the rest of the committee doesn't have that sense, so we'll need to get that technical memo from Stone at some point in the next week as well.
And who specifically they spoke to.
Right, with the specifics of who you spoke to and what you gleaned from that, which was part of the Schedule A scope of services. For a moment, I have Mana Jo Green.
I have comments on the report, and I'd like to give them, but I have two other things I want to say. First, one is, are you going to be reporting off on the meeting with DEP?
Yes, we can report on that.
Okay, because I didn't see that on the
agenda. Yeah, and you know what? That was on the last agenda that we canceled, and I it's my mistake for not putting
not
it on. So we'll add it in new business, even though it's technically old. But yes, we'll definitely report on that.
And then the other, I have some follow-up comments to the discussion that was just started, but I don't want to do that. You had asked us to focus on the track and corridor inspection initially, and I just wanted to bring it back to that. And then when we do get to the report, I have some comments to make.
Do you have specifics on the track and corridor? Does anyone have specifics on the track and corridor inspection report? I mean, it seems, because we have everything in front of us, I didn't want to be remiss to not discuss it. Although I have some of the same, I think it's the same issues that Jeanette brought up in terms of, I was a little surprised to see that even with the lead sentence, that the intent of that inspection was against CMRR's proposed business plan, because we had discussed, and it was my understanding, Randy, that you saw more than just the section you reported on. But I know that the rest is contained in the larger piece. So maybe if the committee is willing, we can kind of jump ahead and be a little more fluid in this and talk about the larger report as a whole. Although I want to say from the outset that we're obviously going to need at least two follow-on meetings, which is going to have to happen in this next week and a half. Because I, for one, have not had, we got this yesterday evening, I haven't had time to fully make my notes and raise my questions. So for me, I'm going to be facilitating the meeting, and I have some general observations, but given a couple more days with the report, I'm going to have a lot of specifics. And I know that Randy said he's going to be available for those follow-on meetings, which will be public meetings. Lynn Archer.
Just to chime in on that, I don't think any of us really had sufficient time to digest this. I did a cursory review of the first report, then I saw the second report. There's been no ability to really drill down.
Yeah.
But there was the theme emerged, as I expressed earlier.
Okay. Okay, so moving
on. Tracy?
Yes, Dave.
Tracy, could they?
Yep, Dave Dong.
I'm a little confused as to what the problem is with, I believe they did do what we were requesting them to go look through there and look at what is the best use, and I believe that's what they're attempting to do. So I don't, I mean, because they mentioned somebody's name that's been on that lease for a long time, I don't think that should be saying that they're favoring anybody. They just went through this thing, and it's looking at it piece by piece, and of course you're going to have to have, in other words, the point is the trail side has one particular way of looking at it, and the railroad has another. The only one you can really use as the other would be the Catskill Mountain Railroad, the ones of the existing leasees. So, so what else would you use if you didn't use that?
Well, are you asking me, or are you just raising the general question?
I ask you, this is a general question. I don't, that's what I'm confused about. I don't know what the problem with it is. I mean, I have not ran through everything closely yet. I mean, I started reading, I got it through this morning, and I didn't get a chance until maybe an hour and a half ago to actually start running through the report. So, you know, I don't see what the big problem was.
Manna?
I also had a different response. I thought it was fairly thorough and objective, and it did tie in some of the reports that I haven't, and reference some of the reports that I haven't had a chance to read, so I appreciated that. I have two overall impressions and then details as they come up, or I can put them in writing or whatever. One is that we did agree that it should be looked at, that the corridor should be looked at in sections. But I also thought they were going to then weave that back together into a recommendation regarding rail, regarding trail, regarding rail with trail, and I didn't see that. I only saw the sections and the conclusions about each section, which doesn't address, to me, the highest and best use for the whole corridor, and I think there is a way to summarize that. The other big issue I have is that to whatever extent they looked at the Catskill Mountain Railroad business plan, that plan, in my understanding, focused on the easterly section, the Kingston to the Glenford Dyke. It didn't focus on the rest of the trail, but that didn't mean that that Catskill Mountain Railroad had conceded no use of the rest of it. And I think they actually either misconstrued or put words in the mouth of the Catskill Mountain Railroad in that regard, and that was a concern. I saw one typo that was a concern, and it was carried through to the new one. On Section 7.3, they call it the Kingston planning, Kingston County instead of planning, instead of Ulster County planning. And then I had, you know, miscellaneous notes in the margin. But that was, I guess there are three other important things that I want to say. I specifically asked for an independent discussion of rail banking. They did talk about freight, but they didn't specifically talk, just a paragraph summarizing what rail banking means. And I know there have been experts that looked at that, but I think that needed to be in the report. I specifically asked about sources of funding, municipal, nonprofit, and private. That's in the minutes. And, you know, that's it. Those are my main key points. Other than that, there are details which there may be a way of us submitting in writing, and I don't know how you want to handle the sort of page-by-page stuff.
Okay. Lynn Archer?
The one thing that I felt, and maybe it's in here and I haven't gotten through it in the level of review that I would like and have the opportunity to do, but clearly there's a lack of grasping the full impact of this corridor and its implications countywide. The reference was only to the ONW-DNH corridor, when in reality the connectivity of this component to the ONW, the Walk Hill, the Lloyd, the extensions that we're working on now to the walkway, it really escaped, I think, the authors about the real scope of an integrated trail system with connectivity throughout the county and what this really brings to the table from a marketing opportunity and a broader perspective. And I did not see that anywhere in here. And if you look at any of the reports that had been provided, that's kind of the key. It's not just yes, there was a focus on health benefit, and I appreciate that because that impacts locally. But the whole point of an integrated system and the connectivity of all these trails and being able to go across the county and connect with key tourism opportunities like the walkway and the Atoken, and quite frankly, even a potential tourist railroad. I mean, I feel like that was missed in this report, and to me, it's the linchpin of why we're all sitting here having this conversation.
I remember a conversation speaking directly about that, and the consultant said that in the amount of time that he had to produce this report, to go outside the bounds of the corridor and discuss linkages, he would need more time, and we directed him to spend all his time directly on the corridor and don't worry about things beyond that because of the issue of time to get the report done.
That may be the case, but I do think, and I do recall having the conversation, that it's not that you have to go out there and do that whole assessment, but you need to understand what the impact would be on this piece of it. You can't make decisions about this without thinking of the broader, even if you're not doing an assessment around all of the towns and the economic impact. You need to see where it fits within a bigger plan to understand the full implication. Otherwise, you're only taking it in its own little context, in its own little box, and it may not be relevant to the broader picture if you're not at least understanding how it fits into the broader
picture.
I don't
disagree with that, but what I will say is that this report was to be one piece of the puzzle that the committee would look at for their recommendation. So a lot of the connectivity with the other trails and the impact would probably come out of our discussions in the committee and not necessarily his report, because we wanted him to concentrate on the highest and best use of the corridor. And then when we were sitting down to have our discussions about recommendations, we would look at the global. That's how I remember it.
Carl, Beth DeLeo?
I just wanted to mention about the track and corridor inspection.
Yeah, we can be fluid about it.
I mean, if you're talking about track and corridor inspection, I think they did a pretty good job. Yes, they did look at Catskill Mountain Railroad's proposal, whatever you want to call it. But I thought that, and walking the track and walking with them, I was the only committee member to walk with the consultants last month and a half ago. And to not talk about the tracks and about the history of a rail or the possibility of a rail would be it wouldn't fit in with what we're trying to do, because this is one section of the possibilities for that corridor, but it's there. It's it's been there for a long time. So I think this report was pretty good. I mean, I agree that maybe some of the wording about Catskill Mountain Railroad should have just been called the UND corridor, but the other thing about the other trail connectings and things, there is some, and I glanced over it very briefly today, but they do talk about the walkway over the Hudson, the UND trails, and the fact that another trail may not possibly increase the usage of all the trails, but take away usage from one section of one trail to another. So I thought that that was pretty insightful. There is thought to the other trail systems. Linking them all together, no. You know, there's no plan to do that in this report. But being that the cost constraints of this...
I don't think I was asking them to, but within the context of what we were asking, you can't not think about the implications of that as you're looking at this corridor, because this corridor connects everything.
No, I understand that.
That's really my point.
Well, one of the things that, you know, if you talk about highest and best, was taking one trail, or taking away the the usage of one trail for a new trail, mm-hmm. you know, and taking away... the economic benefit that was being produced in one section of one trail somewhere and just pushing it over to another. I think maybe that's what they're trying to say. But I don't know if I would actually agree with that or not. They do have... they gave a cost analysis, though, I guess, of what the economic benefit would be for a trail or for the rail, which I thought that was beneficial.
I'm just going to follow on Carl's comment for a minute. I'm going to keep it to the table for a moment, then we'll open it beyond, but I just want to be able to have a give and take at the table for a few more minutes. Carl, one thing, you were the one person on the corridor inspection, and one thought that I had when I looked at it is the notes of the track and corridor inspection are really focused on one section, and I know that you were in beyond one section.
Right.
I think that for me, some of the reference to Catskill Mountain Railroad gave me the impression, at least, and this kind of goes back to your question, Dave, gave me the impression that a lot of the analysis was run against Catskill Mountain Railroad's business plan, which for me, I know it's hard to operate as if a business plan doesn't exist or these documents aren't out there, but I was hoping that we would begin from a little bit more, I don't know how I would call it, a clean slate, where anything was possible rather than would this proposal work or not, and where it wouldn't work, how could an alternative work? Because that's a lot of how this read to me. One thing that's missing for me in this track and corridor inspection report, and I have yet to fully go through the full report in great detail, but one thing that's missing, you talk about an economic impact analysis, Carl, but what's missing for me as well is and that's nice that that's in there, but what's missing is the cost and feasibility analysis that we wanted as one of our deliverables, and certainly I expected to see as part of the report, because something that I'm not expert in, so when you talk about having to blast shale or having to go back and forth over and all this, I have no sense, I can't make a very informed decision about whether or not rail with trail, even not to AASHTO standards, even to a lesser standard, whether it's worthwhile unless I have some sense of what that might even begin to cost. And for me, so far, that's missing. Maybe it's hidden somewhere in the other report, and that's why I preempted by saying I have yet to go through it in great detail, and I'm sure I'm going to have a lot more questions.
Casey, you know, until you actually read through the report, it's kind of, until everybody actually read through the report, you know, making a like all these different statements. I think because when I started reading through the report, I see a lot of these things popping up. Now, I have not read the entire one. I got through it totally through yet. But I, you know, plan on reading it kind of quickly first, and then I just started doing it tonight, and then, you know, then going through it systematically after that. But until you do that, I mean, we're making statements about something that may, in fact, be in the report. And I see, like, some of you, what you're talking about is in the report. They are talking about alternatives and, like, on bridges and things of that nature. They bring up things, and they do actually bring up some cost for that, those particular issues.
Right, but Dave, and we will be going through this in much greater detail, and that's, I mean, this is sort of the general overview, but just to my earlier point, our scope of services said specifically, and I'm reading from it, the consultant shall evaluate the feasibility and estimate costs of restoring rail, converting to trail, and building rail with trail throughout the corridor by segment, including the possibility of alternative parallel corridors for the trail. I somehow don't think it's hidden in there. I know that there are references to some aspects of that and some specific costs, but not the full breadth of that, even in a kind of a general picture full breadth. So, and this is something I'd be very happy to be wrong about, and I'd be ecstatic to be wrong about. But and pending future discussions, I mean, we're gonna have, like I said, at least two more meetings, three if need be, and we as a committee have committed to more than three if need be. So we're gonna do what it takes to get through this, and I expect and hope, and I know that everybody on this committee is committed to this. Seeing this through. So what that's going to involve is a couple days. We're not going to be meeting tomorrow, so it's going to be a couple days of really all of us looking at this in detail, taking notes, writing down our questions, and coming back prepared for a given take. These are, right now, it's kind of, it is a little bit of everybody's general impressions with more specifics coming off of the track and corridor inspection report. Jeanette.
Yeah, if I might, and just looking quickly over the, little printout.
The matrix.
The matrix.
Highest and best use.
The highest. Yeah. What we're looking at is the highest and best use evaluation matrix by segment.
So, for instance, for me, he talks about the Cornell Street area where the Catskill Mountain Railroad now uses as a site to put. They got a lot of stuff there. That's all I can tell you. Not all of it has to do with the train. But where it talks about Cornell, because it gets to where you're saying about what we asked for. Well, you might want something, but what's the cost of it? What's the feasibility of it? And when he talks about the Cornell Street to Albany Avenue, he says, here it is. Kingston area maintenance shop is needed in this area if Cornell Street is vacated. It's my understanding that they were told they had to vacate, and I think it was in the courts, as I understood it. They haven't vacated yet, but that's what I understood. I haven't heard anything conclusive about it. Then he says a relatively easy area for construction despite some row encroachments.
Right of way, yeah.
And then he says, needs new boarding area with restrooms and retail. Well, what does all of that mean? Who's going to pay for it? And how much is it going to cost? Well, if, in fact, you do that.
Where's the land?
And it's my understanding, that they might not even have the property there to do it, if somebody wanted to do it. Those are the things that, based on what you had said, you know, he's got all these kind of possibilities.
Well, we'll just have to make lists of be prepared with very specific questions. And what I'd like to do, Jim, I have you next. But what I'd like to do at the next meeting is go through the report, essentially page section by section, and be prepared, have every member of the committee prepared to discuss. Jim Maloney.
Madam Chairman, after you read the scope of services in the RFP, and the report starts off with the highest and best use analysis, and the way you have to look at highest and best use is a three-legged stool. Legally permissible, financially feasible, and physically possible are the three components. Now, I don't see any of, you know, there's points made, but none of those thresholds are met in this report. And just to echo what Jeanette just pointed out about Albany Avenue to Washington Avenue, there possibly, if with a trail use, right-of-way encroachments, but not with the rail use. If I'm walking on that corridor, there might be an encroachment, but if a locomotive goes through it, there's no encroachment. Maybe I'm reading it wrong, but...
There's encroachments from a business on the county right-of-way, not the other way around.
Okay, so if the locomotive goes through,
no,
or somebody walks by, it should be in both columns, is my point.
Oh, okay, yeah, because there's a wood yard that's encroached on the.
And I mean, from a standpoint of where the report originally came out last night, and then was revised today, I mean, it should have been in a generic sense. Without anybody's business planning, because who knows where we're going to be on June 1st.
Okay, I have Ken Rowan.
I mean, for whatever it's worth, I didn't have as much of a problem with the possibilities on this particular sheet. You know, it might be possible if, although I do agree with Jim that the encroachments as I've seen them seem to be more of an issue on a rail with trail than they are on rail or trail currently.
Okay. Is there any other conversation? I'm not closing the conversation to the table, but I would like to open it. I've seen a couple of hands. Chris White.
May I offer a couple questions to Randy for clarification?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Randy, can you hear me? Randy?
Randy, are you there? Randy?
All
the
conversation.
Are you there, Randy?
Took a nap.
Oh, I'm Gordon Letay is there, but I thought Randy was online already.
I thought he was.
Oh. Hello?
Hello? Randy?
Randy?
So the answer is no.
Randy, we have some...
Well, this simplifies all of it.
Randy, are you online?
Start just
on the phone.
It's a good thing she taped it. We can send her
He did say he was on at the beginning.
Randy,
can you hear me?
Randy?
Yeah, we can hear you now, Randy. Go ahead.
Randy, this is Chris White. I'd like to just offer three questions to clarify things. It appears from the report that you have pretty much concluded that the area along the Ashokan Reservoir, the 11.5 miles, is best used as trail use. But then on the matrix it says, if DEC won't agree to a change of agreement. Now, when you met with them, was there anything to highlight that there was any willingness to change that agreement? Because I think that's pretty firm.
Okay, can I get, this is really important. I really want to get in on this one, because as much as you guys are giving me my homework, I have to give you that as well, too. I'm reading that DEP agreement as pretty much the agreement, and what I would call existing condition, not potential condition. And I'm not sure if that's an accurate interpretation or not. It's kind of one of the 800-pound room. Because whether or not it's regarded as, well, this is a pending agreement or this is an actual agreement, definitely colors any of my recommendations or how I approach things. I'm reading it as an existing condition. And as reading it as an existing condition, the meeting with DEP was pretty much reflected the same way.
I would concur with Randy, having been there. We'll discuss the DEP meeting, but we asked DEP directly about if there could be any rail with trail, and it was a very firm no, that it's rail or trail, that this is the agreement, and we can go into more detail, but that was in no uncertain terms, the gist we got from them.
Second question.
Yeah.
And this may be for Gordon. The economic study where you project out what the impacts of the railroad would be, the numbers that you use for things like wages, capital improvements, are those actuals or are those projections provided by CMRR?
The base spending is from their budget.
Okay,
for
the budget
2015.
Okay, so a budget
and that's
is a plan. They're not
those actuals. Those are the figures that I had to work with.
Okay, did you?
So I'm basing it on the fact that that's what they reported as their. It's more than a business. I gathered it was actual expenditure because it had a and projected because it also had a 2014 in there as well.
Well, for instance, the rent that they report is different from the rent they reported to the county. The wages.
Oh, really?
The wages that report of $100,000. I'm not aware that there are any wages other than hiring a few actors. Their capital improvements are reported at $600,000. Yet there's been no evidence in our litigation of any spending to that level. So I would just say, you know, if I could request. Why don't you ask them for actual financial documents from 24 and base your projection on actuals rather than numbers that may not be supported?
Randy,
is that you?
I had requested that at least a couple times.
Because I think you're over-reporting that. And, you know, with the trail, you took Des Moines and you said, well, there's going to be some substitution of people that no longer use the O&W, so we'll knock that down by about 30. But there was no analysis of substitution activities for this as well. You know, one would think if you have local people and they're going to Polar Express, they also may be making choices not to go out to a meal, not to go out to UPAC for Nutcracker Suite or whatever have you. So if you're going to treat one side with substitution, I think you need to draw that across the board, and I think you need to use actuals so we have valid data. The final question, Randy, it sounds like from the report that CMRR, west of where they operate to now, 6.5, to the Boyceville Trestle, is not Class 1 standards. You use terms like it does not meet railroad standards. You basically say that 95% of the ties are no good. You say that the HDR report is largely correct. Would you just very clearly state, do they have Class 1 track between milepost 6.5 and 21.5?
That's a totally inappropriate thing.
I'm sorry. I have the floor.
It's part of the litigation.
I'm saying you have an engineer here.
We don't need to talk about litigation here.
This is not litigation. Well, this is a track.
That's what the whole litigation is all about.
Ernie, why don't you let him answer?
Well, it's inappropriate.
This is an expert. Why don't you just let him answer?
Do they
have class?
Is this the Chris White meeting?
No, it's not the Chris White meeting.
But we can ask
I know
the question.
I don't want to have side arguments. All right.
I disagree, Ernie.
I want to hear what the answer is.
Yeah.
If he doesn't want to answer, he's a consultant. Let him tell us. So,
Randy, do you
want to
answer that question?
The work that's going on down right now by Polar Express. They're doing that to bring the track there into Class 1 condition. Beyond that point, you need tie replacement to 40%, which is what the HDR study said.
Okay. Okay, one thing that that I would like to offer to the committee, a suggestion, because obviously this is heated on both sides, and not just the committee needs time to take in this report. It probably hasn't gone out to the public at large, but I would like to, in the course of our next two or three meetings, in some organized manner, I'm not sure how we're going to do this, invite stakeholders on both sides of the issue, on the rail side and the trail side, to come to speak to the committee about their comments, concerns about the reports. In other words, so we can hear from the rail community If they disagree with aspects of the report, we can hear from the trail community if they disagree with aspects of the report. Because we're analyzing this amongst ourselves, and I for one, would like feedback from the stakeholders. Jeanette?
Could I ask a question?
Yeah.
It's my understanding when the Railroad Advisory sent out their request for interest that there was another railroad company or whatever you call them that has an interest. I'd like them to come here too.
Because
I understand, there were some things that they felt weren't necessary if they had been given, if they're given the opportunity to run the operation. They're for profit, and they were pretty specific in their response. So I think it would be, I think it's a good idea. The Railroad Committee sent out the request for proposal, so we got Catskill Mountain Railroad, and you have, I don't have it with me.
Railmark.
And you have, so you have another group that's interested in coming into the county. So I think they should also be here too.
But they might, they're from Michigan, I believe, so they might, maybe we can conference them in if we have specific questions.
They have people available in New York State.
They do? Okay.
Yeah.
If
we're going to bring the other two in, I think we should bring them in.
We're going to have to be organized about this. The other thing is Dave Donaldson had suggested, I believe, at the last meeting, and I think if we can reach out to HITS and rail events, if we find that we do have specific questions as to requirements for such events, just as we're analyzing the report and the possibility of rail in any or all segments, I think hearing from those companies directly would be helpful in the course of the next couple of meetings, so I'm going to try to coordinate
you
that.
You might want to invite,
as well.
Like I said last month.
Information.
Yes, Dave.
The guy from Rail Events did call me, and he did say that he was available, and in fact, if need be, he would actually fly here at his own expense.
Okay. That would be great, but we could do over the phone, too.
Right. If he knows enough in advance, he said that he could do that. I mean, he was very interested in this.
It's going to be a very short turn since we have to get this done, but I think if we can get in touch with him for at least being on a phone conversation, if he wants to fly here, great. I mean, it'll be probably next week, but if not, I think having him available to talk to us directly would be very helpful. Does anyone else have any questions, suggestions at the moment? Okay, so... all right. We're going to need to schedule additional meetings. Okay, let's back up scheduling additional meetings will be the next step, because this is going to take some concentrated time. So everybody, you have your calendars. Monday we have a conflict in terms of the only... Mana Joe and myself are on another committee that meets on Monday at 6:30. And we're looking to potentially move that meeting earlier to ideally somewhere around 5, which would mean this committee can meet at 6:30. I think it would be ideal if we could meet starting Monday, because that would leave us Thursday and Friday as possibilities. Is everyone okay with Monday meeting at 6:30?
Yep.
7. So you're talking about.
Yeah. 7. Herb, you have a problem with Monday totally?
I'm out of town on the 7th, 8th, and
the 11th? What about the 11th? Are you available? Just
9th, we have session.
Yeah. The 11th, I am.
Okay, so...
What day does that fall on?
The 11th is Friday.
The 11th is Friday. What I'm suggesting, we'll see how it works with everyone, is a meeting on Monday the 7th, a meeting on Thursday the 10th, and reserving the 11th as a possible meeting date.
Dave has offered to move around his meetings on the 8th also.
I have a conflict on the 8th. I cannot make
it.
But it's not just Dave. Who else would be affected?
Nana Jo.
And Jeanette and Kim. And Herb, this moving 7th to the 8th doesn't work for you anyway, right?
I'm out of town.
Okay.
You do it on the 11th.
Yeah, maybe we won't need the 11th. You know, the 11th would be a reserve day. I'm okay with starting the 7th. It would have to be 6:30 because if the solid waste moves to 5, and the 10th we could start whatever time. What time works for everybody on the 10th?
10.
6 o'clock for Amanda because it works. Does 6 work for you, Herb?
I'll take 1 to 4.
Okay.
Okay, sorry, do you already say on the 7th there is a meeting? And then what time?
Oh, that's what I'm trying to do.
Oh,
6:30.
6:30.
And we've moved solid waste to 5, right, which I'm hoping will happen.
And
what is
the plan for the Monday meeting?
To start with this, to start going through this report.
Should we have them go through the matrix, maybe?
And maybe explain
the
findings?
Yeah, in one moment. To start going, for us to come back with the report bit by bit, with questions, section by section, and to start discussing our recommendations, which need to be in. We need to have our recommendations into laws and rules if it is in the form of a resolution on the 14th, which is the following Monday. So does that work for everyone? It gives us some time to review over the next couple of days.
And
start Monday.
What time on the 10th?
6 o'clock on the 10th.
When do you plan on having
coordinating it for these days as well? It gives us some time to coordinate for...
No, you were going to invite...
Yeah, 7th and the 10th as well. And the 11th... and the 11th... Jim, you want it earlier on the 11th, you're saying?
Yeah.
What's
a
early?
Busy evening.
Yeah.
Christmas parties. I'll be honest.
Okay. well, hopefully, maybe we won't get to the 11th.
Do you think that on the 7th that we could just have the committee bring forth our questions and then bring the other people in on, like,
the 10th.
That way,
yeah.
Because it's, I think it'd be too much for one meeting.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
What time is the 7th?
All of our questions.
It's 6:30. And Herb, if you want to call into it, that would be great. Okay. Okay, so we're firming the 7th at 6:30. I'm firming that even if solid waste can't move, we're just going to have it. On the 10th at 6 and the 11th. Amanda, could you do any earlier than 6 as a backup? You want to say
on
5?
On Friday, yeah.
At 5. Does that work, Jim?
Yeah.
5. And that one's tentative. But we probably will. It's likely we might need at least a little bit of it just for finalization.
I can call in that.
Okay. So, Randy, you have those dates. The committee on the 7th, the committee is going to go through the report with the questions, and the focus of the 7th will be mostly, if not exclusively, committee and committee questions.
Okay. I think as a part of that, I'll make that at least a self-imposed deadline for you also to get that technical memo on my contacts and so on.
That would be great. Which is both the, and I'll talk to you a little bit more about that, but that's the facts gleaned from the existing reports and studies, sort of your highlights and the summary of the comments and concerns of the stakeholder groups, which would include who you spoke to and, and a summary of your conversation and what you gleaned from.
And also, I wasn't sure who mentioned it, that they had reported different numbers to the county. Is it possible for me to get copies of those numbers?
If I'm
dealing, I can't deal with two different financial reports.
Yep.
One of them we have to accept as reality.
Okay, I'm sure we could get can we get a copy of whatever was submitted to the county?
We can get that, but I don't know that that gives the other picture of the capital. I mean, the easiest thing would be for the railroad to provide actuals. If you want to base it on what they're spending, have them produce the document.
But actually, it was Randy who said that he'd asked for that a couple times.
I mean, the biggest thing isn't the rent. The biggest discrepancy is the capital project money. You know, they're saying in the report that they've spent some. They're either going to be spending or they've spent over $600,000.
But not to get into, and we will go, the committee will go into all those questions.
So these are projections. Ernie stated these are projections.
I'll go through and I don't have those numbers in front of me. I can tell you what.
Okay. And
but I can get you the rent tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get whatever has been submitted to the county for you, Gordon.
Yeah,
and
no,
Ernie, he'll get whatever. He'll have estimates.
It was due in June or July.
Would it be helpful for the committee to have Randy walk us through the matrix as a general, since the matrix is kind of a general overview of the section by section before we go into our analysis of the whole by next week?
Yep. What was Friday's date? Time?
Friday's at 5.
I'll send out an email tomorrow with you.
Randy, do you mind walking us through the highest and best use evaluation matrix, kind of using it as a summary of in the lead in to our analysis and our coming back to you with questions?
One thing before we dive into that.
Sure.
I do want to say the track and corridor inspection, that was not the report back for our whole inspection report or our whole inspection trip we took on the speeder. That was chasing my walking portion of just the 4 miles between Basin Road and Hurley Mountain Road. And primarily that was because I was looking for data like we had on the B&L report up the top. I thought that existed on the lower part as well, and it didn't. And after the speeder trip, it was very evident to me that it was, you know, two different standards of construction. And some of the key issues were, can you or can't you fit anything in here? And I would suspect that some of the fills and cuts weren't even wide enough to do the trail alignment. So we wanted to get some hard measurements. So that was the report of what we found physically on the ground there, which I felt was completely lacking on any other study I'd seen. So that was not intended to be the report on actually our full corridor inspection. Just on the 4 miles, that was kind of a big black hole, actually, on what conditions were out there that would accommodate one or the other or both.
Okay. Are you ready to move into the matrix?
Okay. So, the color coding, in case you're, I don't know, you have black and white copies or color copies?
We have color coded. The committee has color coded, right? Okay.
So, for basically what I'm looking at is I tended to shade the rail areas blue. The trail area is green, and spots where I was running into problems and I needed more information kind of turned yellow on me. Okay? It's just kind of a general guide as to why is he coloring things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Starting off with the connection down to CSX. That section, the only really viable long-term situation for that that justifies the cost that the county is going to get involved is if somebody comes in with a freight transloading proposal that benefits the county. And that may or may not be either Catskill Mountain or Brent Point. You don't know. And that's what I really wanted to clarify on this, is you don't really have proposals that indicate, other than I think just a comment from the letter, and that's all I looked at really on Railmarks was just the letter, that yet are interested in that potential. And that doesn't give you enough data to work with as the county. And that applies pretty much across the board to the whole freight concept. If the freight concept turns out to benefit the county, it's worthwhile. But that's going to require a lot of information you don't have right now. I can tell you, though, that looking at the switch on CSX, based upon the information that we're getting off NS, it's making some of our siding and other projects next to impossible because of the prices they're beginning to come up with. Mr. Hunt had indicated that he thought he had a compromised position. I'll certainly look at that, but I haven't seen anything like it yet. So that's why I have the big yellow, high cost of CSXD switch, and rail only if there's a market proven for transload. Moving on to Cornell, if there's an active plan to relocate off of Cornell Street, I don't know about it. That was not presented to me, and I didn't see any in the document. So I'm assuming that's something that still had to be worked out. Generally, I agree with that, that it needs to be relocated, and after going through an awful lot of head-scratching and looking around, my conclusion is the preferred site is out there by Hurley Mountain Road. And as far as for trail alignment, on a short-term or a short-distance trail there, you're looking at about 3,000 feet worth of trail height, where you've got two-level grade crossings and the two overpasses. If you're going to use that track for anything more than just moving equipment in and out of Cornell Street, you'd have to do a pretty heavy rehab on it anyway. So if you're going to do a heavy rehab on it, track looks not sacred. If you really want to do rail with trail, you could kick that track over until you got to the overpass. Then you've got a problem. That's what I said. If you really wanted to do that, the underpasses could be with a level crossing, stop and flag rules, and flange inserts. But I'll tell you right now, from what I found out from NYDOT, there's no way they were going to pay for that in a grant. They're subject to a federal highways review process. So the only real advantage to you is that it's short enough you might be able to fund it with something else. But I didn't get that return call from Federal Highways, by the way, that we got right down to the down and dirty about trail design until Monday. So, you know, some of the key information that I really needed here, we've been bucking the clock the whole project through. From Cornell Street to Albany Avenue, I'm basically saying it's probably going to end up being a trail. It's going to take some time. If you really wanted to keep rail, you can probably fight it through, but probably trail. Once you get out to Albany Avenue, you get into the Kingston Plaza area. From what I can see there, there's already a pretty good plan in place to figure out how to do rail with trail there. The original right-of-way is wide enough. It depends where you put it, and it depends how you want to connect in the O&W trail. But there, that was a railroad yard. It's flat. For the most part, I think you can get a rail-to-trail alignment. You're not going to really know until you do an actual design, but I think everything's going to fit there. And tying into the O&W trail, everything to do with the O&W trail is slammed up. That's a wonderful idea. So what, do you still have that I-87 overpass in place? Or this would get really difficult. Looking at the connection on the flats with the bridge, one of the points that I was making in the report was that, I mean, NYDOT has put you in a very difficult position there. If you do the diversion over across on the O&W and then have to cross the Sophus Creek a second time, you're looking at an expensive bridge, and yes, I measured on Google Earth, it really is 200 feet long. Are people going to use that as the route, or are they going to shortcut over the railroad? You know darn well they're going to try to shortcut over the railroad bridge if they're coming from Kingston and they're walking. That's not good. On the other hand, if you do the Kingston Bridge and you're coming from the O&W, are you going to try to shortcut out along 209 and walk along the highway? Yeah, and that's not good either. So I'm not really sure about that. I don't know if anybody else has brought up that one or not, but I see it as a safety issue on the trailing connections because I do see people coming right off the O&W and going either into Kingston or up the other trail. And you end up with, you know, what you almost need is all three, but nobody's ever talked about that. Or you need both abilities. Whether or not you still want to discuss sistering off the bridge or trying to deck it, if you try to deck it, again, NYDOT is never going to agree with you, but I will tell you that it's been done safely elsewhere. I don't necessarily like that idea. I'm just pointing it out. When you get to Hurley Mountain Road, now is where the real issue starts. Because this is where you need to trail event. The existing track that was there from the platform down at Kingston Plaza to Hurley Mountain Road is really too short, plain and simple. I can dance around it, but it's too short. So you've got to get some additional distance out of that, and as soon as you cross Hurley Mountain Road, boy, does it get tough.
Say that again.
The first cut.
Can we play that again?
It gets tough. You've got 3/4 of a mile of really difficult situation there to ever try to figure out how to do rail with trail. You've got a bluestone cut on the low side. You can probably excavate that out. It's not awful. But the second one up, we measured that chest high at 15 foot 6. You're going to have to cramp the trail to get through there if you figure the drainage pattern for the trail. And you can go down to 8 feet. I didn't realize it would go down to 8 feet when I first walked through there, so I don't think it's as bad for the trail as I thought. But right now, for them to do tire replacements, they're having to kind of excavate in the bank or else disassemble the track. That cut really becomes the focus on how do you want to address that. You've got residents on the uphill side. You've got 28 on the downhill side. If you were going to widen it, you'd probably go on the 28 side. But that, you know, I don't know if that's, if you guys consider that feasible or not. I certainly looked at that and I went, wow, that's a difficult. But that's the game, what you figure you need, that additional distance they're already running to. Do they really need that kind of distance to sustain a railroad out of Kingston for anybody? And in my mind, the answer is yes. You've got to have a little more distance than the Hurley Mountain Road. And if you don't necessarily want to hear that from me, that's one of the issues to talk to about rail events. It really is. So you've got a three-quarter mile plate with that one bluestone cut, a couple light shale cuts, and then you get up to the milepost where it opens up onto the original siding. You've got another half a mile of relatively easy sledding after that, and then it gets tough again, but at least it's shale. Whether or not, and we talked about this with planning, whether or not it's really feasible to dig out that shale and widen it out, I don't know. I know there's a lot of shale living in that ditch line that can be taken out.
Can I interrupt and just ask, when you talk about feasibility, and I know we'll go into this in more detail in our meeting on Monday, but when you talk about feasibility and difficulty to accomplish in some of this rail with trail possibility, did you estimate costs or associate costs with that?
We started out, we wanted to get through this discussion before we continued and focused in the right area.
Okay.
I'm not sure that every area needs this level of detail, but this does. This really does.
Because just speaking as one committee member, I have no idea when you talk about the difficulty on some level. It comes down to both financial difficulty and feasibility, and then feasibility associated with environmental impacts and disturbance. And so without analyzing those two aspects, I feel like I'm kind of operating in the dark because I don't know what difficult means in terms of how big a picture. Yeah. We'll come back.
If you're talking eroded shale, I think, and I may have to be corrected on this, that at least Catskill Mountain still has an operable rail-mounted grade all. And you can, with a bucket, you can scoop an awful lot of that eroded shale out just with a bucket excavator. And because it's still an active railroad corridor, you don't have to do specific additional permitting to do that. You're clearing your ditch lines. That's the kind of thing that can be done while it's a railroad corridor, that if it weren't a railroad corridor, yeah, you'd be into a full environmental investigation. But whether or not you can get full down there depends upon just how deep the original rock is under that. And I don't know that we're even going to be able to properly estimate that. You know, it almost needs sampled. You know, where is the original rock line back there? And how hard is it to really dig that shale away? I thought if it were all shale, we could probably really take a shot at it. And then I hit that bluestone cut on the low end, and I went, wow, you look how they originally did that. And yeah, that was probably blasted through there. It was probably drilled and blasted. So continuing on up to 28A, got a combination of issues. I don't favor looking at the downhill side at all. I favor always focusing on the uphill side. The downhill side is so steep that I don't think you can hold a retaining wall there, and anything you disturb would roll all the way down. On the uphill side, you've got at least the potential of trying to widen it out a bit. It's not good, and then you get up to 28A, and that's really got a drainage problem. That needs addressed, specifically for trail, because if the rail is removed at that location, you've already got a wetland there by any other definition. I understand it's state highway drainage, 28A, that's coming down on the highway. It looks like that to me. That really needs addressed, no matter what you look at the corridor. And I think that the state highway is actually a problem for what I saw. Now, above 28A, this is where this is not news to anybody. I do not see any way to do rail with trail and stay on that Stony Brook fill. It's too narrow. It's too steep. And it's also shown signs of being at least unstable in the past, if it isn't now, because you can see that it's settled in a couple places, and the valley maps show that additional property had to be purchased. So, yeah, it was pretty much stacked up to the angle of repose, not a design standard. That is the one spot that I found where my rail with trail analysis stopped. I looked at that fill and I went, no, you can't occupy the right-of-way with both of them here. Now, getting up further toward Basin Road, as soon as you hit the new alignment, life changes. You've got a much wider cut face. You've got much better engineering standards. Again, if you were going through the effort to have to bring the railroad up to FRA1, then you might want to actually move it over in the process and create some more room for a trail if you were there. But I'm not so sure that isn't a moot point because of the fill issues. Now, the whole reason for trying to get above, I think it's milepost 72.28 above the special events, is to have some sort of destination up there. And that's where it got difficult, where I said with the agreement. Are you really bound permanently with that agreement, or is there sufficient need to interface with either the trail or rail with trail at the top to keep a rail alignment? And I still have a big question mark about that. And I really think that needs to be a continued topic about, you know, have I found sufficient interest to want to pursue a rail with trail alignment or rail destination up there? To a certain extent, I think you've got this as an interest for both rail and trail. One of the things that concerns me about that agreement that was signed is it basically puts DEP in the tourist business with a trailhead. Do you really want DEP in the tourist business with a trailhead, or do you want to be able to control your own trail with your own trailhead? You're responsible for the maintenance, but it's going to be on Early Mountain, the parking lot up there. It's going to be on Boyceville at across the boundary. Those are issues that need to be talked about because you're still going to want a decent trailhead, and if you have a decent trailhead, it could also work for rail. So the question gets, will they even allow you 1 foot across that line to work with a trailhead as a destination? I'd love to see a situation where a railroad feeds to a trail. I think it's beautiful and elegant, and you've got two locations for it here. I'm still not sure that it's feasible based upon that agreement. It looks pretty cut and dry to me. I'd like to be told there's still some wiggle room. I just don't see it yet. When you get up to Boyceville, let's talk about the Shogun Corridor part. You've got basically, depending upon how you measure it, with or without railroad coming in there, you've got either 8 or about 11.4 miles in the middle. And I think that's one of the coolest potential destination trails in the East. I think you're pretty well there on that. I'm looking, and this is something we also need to talk about as a sidebar. I was looking primarily at the business plan submitted on Catskill Mountain or anybody else to see what interest was there. Frankly, I don't see how that benefits getting across there other than time. The views at both ends are great. It's the middle I have a problem with, and the middle is probably one of the best parts of the trail. So I think that the evolution toward a trail there is probably pretty well accepted. It's the edges that I am, that I'm still picking on, that I'm going, well, we really need to figure out how to interface with this. Your design, the analysis, everything that has been done up there on that portion of the trail, I think is pretty well complete. I don't think I need to beat that to death, and I think the cost estimates are probably pretty well complete, too. The only fuzzy part that we had was, well, you know, is anything going to go on special up there with vegetation control? And after going over it in-house, the limestone should hold it. If you want to put down an additional geotextile layer, great, but limestone should still hold it. At the Boyceville end, I don't see why the bridge piers aren't, or the bridge girders aren't pulled out and examined immediately because your cost estimates are so wide apart on whether or not you have to do a girder bridge or a new bridge or reuse the girders, or is it going to be on steel and not be a railroad loading? Is it going to be FEMA? The numbers are all over. Step one, you need to look at the girders. Really do. From Boyceville up, I'm looking at that as that was always where the railroad was intending to go to begin with before they went down to Kingston. When you look at the connectivity further up, the problem I have with looking at the connectivity further up is it makes for a really nice long trail, but at the top of the hill, the only thing you're getting to is a ski resort. Beyond the county line, I'm not seeing any evidence of connectivity up there to much of anything. In talking to Delaware and Ulster, which also manage their trails up there, I mean, they've got their right-of-way all cleared all the way down to High Mount. And if there's any trail planning going on up there, I'm not aware of it. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not seeing anything. So the issue becomes, what are we connecting to up there? If we're connecting to Bel Air, then you've got a really good opportunity to do seasonal occupation. You can still, if you want to do snowmobiles, you can do it. If you want to do cross skiing, you can do it and still leave the track in place. That was the only time I recommended that was on that first mile and a half that comes down to Pine Hill. But the potential is still there. It's there all the way down there as long as the railroad corridor is there and it's not being used in winter. You can always use it as a ski trail. That really has worked in the Adirondacks.
A cross-country ski trail you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or snowmobile use. I mean, we talked about a multi-use trail, but if you aren't doing a multi-use trail, what else do you do with a rail alignment? Not living up there, I don't know how much snow exactly you get or how much snowmobile use that you get. I'm just saying that, boy, in the Adirondacks, that's turned out to be a big boon to business, is opening that railroad corridor to snowmobiles.
Okay. Because you asked for clarification, a hand went up. Are you clarifying,
I'd like
Kevin?
To speak to that. Randy, this is Kevin Smith. I'm with Woodstock Land Conservancy and Friends of the Catskill Mountain Rail Trail.
Okay.
We submitted comments a couple of years ago when DEC was doing a designation process on the 1,200-acre purchase of the Big Indian parcel. The UND corridor runs along the bottom, the base of that parcel, and it connects Big Indian and Peekamoose Restaurant and Pine Hill Hamlet and Bel Air Beach Day Use Area, DEC Day Use Area, with picnic facilities, and as well as up to the county line to the ski mountain. It connects into the multi-use trails there. They're not just for cross-country skiing. They are also for mountain biking and hiking, and it will connect to the proposed Bel Air Resort when that, if that is built, at whatever size it is built. It has recently been permitted. The Friends of the Catskill Mountain Rail Trail and the Woodstock Land Conservancy are on record as identifying this portion of the corridor as a huge opportunity site for economic development and community benefit between Big Indian and High Mount and the proposed resort, if that's built. So, in addition, DEC has stated very clearly that the section of the corridor that runs along the base of the 1,200-acre Big Indian parcel actually would be key to them being able to provide quality public access opportunities to the 1,200-acre Big Indian parcel for hiking, for mountain biking, and potentially for cross-country skiing. There is, I believe, $50,000 that was received as part of the monies for the Catskill Park in the EPF this year. There was a line item for the Catskill Park, and I believe there's $50,000 identified in there to help develop a trail network plan for connecting the Ski Mountain trail system with the Big Indian parcel, multi-use trails, high quality, potentially a destination mountain bike area. This would enhance Bel Air as an economic development site. It would create off-season, full-season, year-round opportunities, not just confined to the wintertime. So this is I think, an incredibly important thing that needs to be addressed here.
Thank you. Chris White?
One other thing,
Kevin.
Tracy, I'm sorry.
Sure.
There is a rail trail connected to this corridor in Delaware County. It is called the Catskill Scenic Trail. It is run by the same nonprofit that operates the Delaware and Ulster Railroad, and they have operated for many years in a segmented arrangement just as the county executive originally proposed for this corridor and just as the Friends of the Catskill Mountain Rail Trail has advocated for right the way through as the most feasible, most cost-effective use of this asset. Thank you.
Okay. Did you have a follow-on to that?
Well,
Randy,
it's Chris White again. You kind of jumped from the section in Boyceville and Mount Tremper and Phoenicia right up to the hill. Could you talk a little bit about, do you see any feasibility in ever connecting Phoenicia up to Bel Air? I mean, you and I saw areas that were overgrown, that were in the middle of the creek. It's in your report, but you just kind of jumped over that. Would you go back a moment and talk about that, please?
Yeah, I look at it, and that's probably, I'd say, the second most overgrown rail corridor I've ever seen. And to do what I call the degree of difficulty in the washouts and the situation you're looking at. I mean, some of the worst areas, I mean, you know, like I have some photos of, and some areas have been patrolled in recent years, and actually some of the stuff cut back. You can at least still see the rails. Where the alignment's missing, and the decision has to be, you know, do you do the corridor? Do you come on the highway? You know, do you actually want to fill that in and get back in? And all along the way here, along the Sopus Creek, I don't think that filling that in and getting that original corridor alignment is feasible. I do think that, you know, working out some kind of compromise where you can work on, you know, jumping around it like a big end in, go onto the highway, on, it probably is. Because, you know, the part of the corridor that remains, you could still use. You can pull the rails off of it, you can grub it out, do what you have to do to get a surface back out. But where the alignment's completely missing, wow, that's a hard sell.
Can I ask for clarification? This is Tracy, Randy. When you say it's not feasible and it's a hard sell, is it financial limitations? Is it permitting limitations? Is it both?
Both. Yeah. We did a pretty in-depth analysis of going over the estimates on the washout that was at 23-4.
So this
okay.
is between Boyce
and looking at what's in there for operator prices. I had two of my guys go over it. We ran it through some inflation factors. We looked at what the photos looked like on the dirt. We came up with about $1.5 million for that one. That would be the previous about $1.2 million. So there's one of 23-4. You basically go 1/10 of a mile, and you've got $1.5 million into it. And that isn't even completely washed out. That's just partially washed out. About 2/3 of the embankment is washed out, and it's sloped out back to the hillside.
And for the section that you were just referring to from Phoenicia to Bel Air, in terms of, again, talking about feasibility and it being a hard sell, you're talking, when you talk about grubbing it out, you're talking about it being for trail use, you're not the potential of some kind of segmented rail use in that section.
If there's any rail use up there north of Phoenicia, I don't see it.
Okay.
The only section that I saw that I think is even worth considering is that in talking to Reardon and the Delaware and Ulster, he'd still like to revisit coming down to Pine Hill.
And follow up.
Okay.
That going around the curves. He'd still like to at least talk about that. I'm not sure how solid that is. I'm not really sure what the details were on the discussions with the county. I just called them to ask if it was still even on the table because I hadn't been able to find out any information from anybody about it that was newer than 2 years old.
And that's, you're talking about that last mile at 1.6
yeah.
miles.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, they've got their own problems up there with their operation. But the question was still, was there any interest?
And certainly worth exploring. That's something the committee needs to take into account. And you can talk to us at the Monday meeting about your conversation with Mr.
Yes.
Reardon as well. Does anyone at the committee have any other questions about what we've just gone over? Anybody on the committee? Manager Green?
Yeah, given what we've just gone over and the report, I just want to reiterate that I think a section explaining rail banking, explaining the difference between freight and passenger, and what it would take for future generations if they decided that some of these difficult areas might be worth restoring, what it would take. I want to know the role of rail banking in the evaluation that you've come up with.
Okay. Can you still hear me? Okay.
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah.
I don't
see that when my phone goes to sleep, the speaker shuts off.
Oh. I just want that in the report. I'm not. That's not a question about what you've just gone over. I just think it's important to include.
Well, the whole issue of rail banking and what that means is getting a whole lot more attention than it even did 6 months ago because of the number of active rail freight corridors that were in coal service and are now looking at going into rail banking status. It's a very hot topic.
It's just very relevant given what you've just said.
Yes.
Herb, do you have a comment?
No, I was going to say I thought we were going to have the lawyer come.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if we can get the lawyer to come. I'll reach out to B again.
She's the expert.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a question to me. I've got a real hot button issue here. My understanding of our role on this is that we were not going to be any kind of recommendations in terms of the future operator. I was copied on the fact that you did receive some expressions of interest. I didn't really think it was our role to be using those documents in terms of an analysis because it begins to make us drift into the role of operator selection.
Yeah.
But
you broke up a little bit at the beginning, but I think what you just said is accurate.
Okay. So I want to make sure that I'm using any information from anybody in terms of, you know, what the plans are accurately. For the economic impact analysis and for trying to figure out what was, you know, the plan, I went back to that 2015 to 2020 business plan at Catskill Mountain to see what was intended. That was probably my prime document. I'm still not sure if that's the appropriate document I should be looking at or not looking at in terms of what the considerations are for potential use.
I think that from this point forward, since we're going to be talking, we're going to be going over in detail on Monday, it may be that individual committee members or the committee as a whole has some specific questions that I could imagine might be informed by, say, for example, one of those expressions of interest. It might inform a question that we might have for you as we're doing our analysis of the highest and best use of the corridor coming off of your recommendations and then preparing to form our own recommendations for the legislature. So to the extent that you might be able to answer a question based on your knowledge of the corridor and your analysis of the corridor, as that question relates to our understanding of one of those expressions of interest, that may or may not come up. But no, I don't think it certainly wasn't your charge to take those expressions. You have a pretty full plate already, and there's still some outstanding technical documents. We certainly didn't want to take you off course of the directive that was before you in the scope of services.
Well, one of the things I'm concerned about was, what the plan was on the Phoenicia end about getting back into Boyceville, and because that really isn't covered in the 2015-20 report that I was looking at by Catskill. I mean, it's already a rail corridor. It looks like it's there, but in terms of what if anything impacts what you need or what you don't need on that end. I'm assuming you need to get all the way back to the Boyceville Bridge. But in terms of filling the washout and get back down there at least to 28A. But I don't know what the plan is for use on it, so I'm not sure how much that impacts it. But that was my assumption, is that the goal was still to at least get all the way down to 28A.
Yeah, I'm going to let Ernie respond, and then I have a follow-on.
Yeah, Randy, we did the vision docs. I'm pretty certain you got those. Those were done in 2014. And then the business plan was essentially a much more detailed version of the vision doc for Kingston.
we've had a plan to do the same thing for Phoenicia, but I have just not done it yet.
Okay.
So the vision doc from 2014 is probably the best source for what we would like to do. It's always been our intent, as long as I can remember, to cross the Boyceville Trestle and to access the scenic views, which are only about a half mile further.
Well, I was kind of assuming that that was at least the intent.
Yeah.
But, of course, that was described in the 2015 to 2020.
No, we specifically did not. We really wanted that to be an independent document, not covering the rest of the corridor.
I do think, Randy, if I could just follow on, too, I do think that, and we, in the committee, we discussed this before about, as we looked at each segment, it kind of goes back to some of what Mana said, the highest and best use of each segment, rail versus trail versus rail with trail. There's always been this outlying concept, at least, of the rail operations in Kingston and in the Phoenicia section. And just speaking as one member, but I know I've said this publicly before, I mean, some of what I need to drill down on and I need to understand, and I hope is to some degree in this document that you've given us, is how do we weigh one, the potential of one rail section against the other or against the possibility of both. And that's something that I really need to understand in order to weigh in on a recommendation to the legislature as a whole. Because, sort of for obvious reasons, is can both the possibility of both rail operations exist? How would they compete against one another? How would one succeed in the absence of another? And what would the benefit of Kingston be over Phoenicia? What would the benefit of Phoenicia be over Kingston? Again, not talking about any particular provider or any particular tenant, but just talking about the possibility of the highest and best use of any given section of the corridor. So that just speaking to the committee, as much to you, Randy, that's one of my key questions heading into next week.
What the areas I have covered. You get right down in it, trying to evaluate on, what works and what doesn't in separate locations.
Right. And that's something that Rail Events might be able to Dave's earlier suggestion about having them on the line as well. Not that everything hinges on these licensed events, but certainly CMRR has demonstrated the success of an operation with these licensed events. So talking to the companies that do the licensing just to provide us information might be helpful to that regard as well. I have Lynn and Mana.
Yeah, I think that speaks to what we spoke about the last time, which is what are the parameters for these events that would help us look at the corridor as a whole and where it can be accommodated. Because
mm-hmm.
right now we don't have that information, and that is critical to inform the outcome of this.
Well, you'll find in the report that the measurement, I finally got it down to what is the number. We need 26 minutes. You know, 26 minutes at 10 miles an hour, 26 minutes at 25 miles an hour, or 26 minutes at 40 miles an hour. But that's where they want to see the North Pole appear.
We have that in voice.
Okay, Mana, Joe Green?
I want to repeat what I said earlier because you just got clarification from Mr. Hunt about that the business plan, the 2015 through 20 business plan, really only focused on the question of Kingston. I want you to go back through the report and where you say the Catskill Mountain Railroad has conceded or where there is consensus about the Ashokan section. I think that those were assumptions made on a false assumption, and I'm going to request that you go back through there. I will and others will, and change that language. You can't, it's not fair based on a misunderstanding on your part to then put words in the mouth of either the existing railroad or, other people, to suggest that they have conceded, or I forget what some of the other language that you used were, was, but I really request that you clean it up based on your corrected, on your now corrected understanding.
No, thank you, and I agree with that, because you're really the only thing I did look at. What I thought was the most current business plan was that one that apparently is pretty much exclusively Kingston.
Okay.
And I do think it would be appropriate to correct it if that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know the page and section she's referring to so I can read it.
She's just in the matrix. Yeah, and I can even in the matrix you can point to it. In the matrix, in some of the green sections, it'll say not proposed by CMRR as active rail. But it's not proposed in that business plan.
It's not in the report itself.
Well, yes, exactly.
It is in the report as well.
Throughout the report. I'll mark them and send them in LCC, everybody.
Thank you, thank
yeah,
you.
Good.
The EOI we put together.
I'd like that too.
Okay, Ernie, I'm getting ready.
Yeah, even though the EOI is really not part of the technical documents, it is a good summary of our current position on the quarter for Kingston and Phoenicia. So that would be probably something appropriate to...
To
make sure you, if you really want to know what is our current thinking of it.
And that's and the committee was all the committee was circulated the EOI, and that's why earlier at the start of this I referenced that CMR had not conceded the whole of the corridor. But
Jim, the first section that alerted me as I read this was just on page 3, the second to the last paragraph. The county has offered portions of the trackage both in Kingston and in Phoenicia area for continued rail operations, and the 2015 business plan of Catskill Mountain Railroad has effectively offered virtually the entire Ashokan Reservoir for trail usage. And I don't think that's what happened.
It was only meant for Kingston and Lunsford Dyke. It wasn't really, it didn't address going any further. So it shouldn't be implied.
Chris White?
This is a suggestion for Randy and also Gordon. It's really important we get the economic benefit data as to be as valid as possible. And I wanted to just offer two possible suggestions for looking at it, because I don't think projections are accurate or even verifiable. I mean, we've seen projections in the past that we've fallen very far short of. So I would suggest either one of two alternatives. Either do replicate what Des Moines did with trails, and instead of looking at CMRR, go and look at other railroads that are comparable and what kind of usage we might expect in the area, and then extrapolate out a visitor, you know, an economic...
Well, to be honest with you, I'd rather not, because that is going to give you an even... muckier results. What I'd like to do is I'd like to then get the actual 2014 final filing and what they took in and what they expended.
Well, and then
that would give you an accurate based on 2014.
So, I mean, I guess, Ernie, do you have a 2014?
Well, what do you spend so far this year?
I'll put Gordon. I can put Gordon directly in touch with Ernie, if that's okay.
But I would just say something together is different than a 2014 tax return, which you have to tell the truth on. So I would say either have a tax return or an audited financial document, such as an income statement.
Well, whatever it is that we end up with, you're going to explain. Whatever, Gordon, I'm going to put you directly in touch with Ernie. And
okay.
And then also the committee is going to expect that on Monday, as we start to go through this, that you'll be able to walk us through how you arrived at the numbers, and we'll have questions about that or concerns. I mean, I think that I don't want to get into the nitty gritty of that right now. And to that point, if there are concerns from the trail community that the numbers represented are not accurate, then that would be something you bring to the committee. I don't want this to be the forum for kind of inter-fighting. You'll, the trail committee will have their ability to bring to this committee their concerns, where they see failings, where they see positive in the report, as will the rail community have the opportunity to come to this committee. I'm not sure how it's going to happen on Thursday, either in person, and might ask for some written notes first so that we could have time to reflect on it. But also come with their concerns, the rail community, something like Manna Joe brought up might have been something that the rail community and CMRR would have cited already, would have said, we see this as a failing in the report, that we don't agree with that, and that would be helpful for this committee to know and then to weigh one way or another. We can't have the back and forth. Yes.
Well, I'll talk to Ernie. Yes. I'll talk to you tomorrow then.
Yeah.
Yes, and Gordon, you can expect from Chris White, the for the county, the rent figures.
Yeah, whatever numbers he's got, send them along, please.
Well,
Dave, I'm going to let you go. Jeanette, you'll be next.
Filed a 2014 tax return.
Let's not have a side argument. Dave, yes, you have the floor.
When we look at the Des Moines study, there's also many holes in that particular study. You're looking at a study of, in other words, all speculative, no matter how you look at it. There's no real numbers there.
That's right.
And it's brought out from a number of other things. And if you take a look at that number, it's also looking at numbers that are, the Cologne study's talking about something after it's totally built out 20 years from now, and they're giving you these numbers. So, I mean, and then there's a lot of speculation in those numbers that many will turn around and say that they're just a little out of whack. So, I mean, when we take a look at these, my take on it is at least you're getting some real numbers out of the railroad situation. And I'm not taking the side of this railroad in this case. I'm just pointing out.
I don't have a hammer. Hang on, Dave. Let it settle down. Go ahead.
One is real numbers. They're using real numbers. The other is not. So whether those numbers are exactly accurate as maybe one report that they put out said one thing, one number, or a number, in other words, the numbers they post them are credit card runs. So the numbers came from credit cards, and we know where they came from. The Des Moines study comes from nothing.
I think that Randy analyzed the Des Moines study as well and spoke about it at an earlier committee meeting, and that's on record. And we can revisit that too. I mean, I think that the committee's going to have the chance to discuss the economic analysis, to ask questions about it, and then to weigh it against, all the other concerns we have and all the other things before us. So we'll be looking at that on Monday. Jeanette.
We did talk last month about bringing people in here that could talk to the potential. And I had mentioned that Tom Strazzeri, who is the owner of Hits in Saugerties, he does marathons, half marathons, all kinds of races, all over the country. He lives here. He knows it inside out, upside down. And you could have him come in here and talk about facts. Because he already did a small, I think it was a small half marathon or an Ironman or something like that, using the Kingston Point Beach and then biking and trail. He already done it on a very small scale. And there was quite a few people that showed up for it. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine if you had something, that you could promote that, when we talk about these races, we're talking, 30, 40 miles. So, but, I mean, he's an expert, and he lives in our community.
Right. I hear you. What we talked about was having our consultant interview the key thought leaders, but the key stakeholders. And his was among the names forwarded to Randy. We had to drill down the top names. I asked the planning department to choose the top trail designations, and we're going to get that in our technical memo from Randy. In the same way that we asked Randy to look at the documents, we can't very well be interviewing all the key stakeholders on both sides. This committee would be here for another 7 months.
This individual is known throughout the country, for heaven's sake.
Absolutely. But so are many other individuals in this community. I mean, if you went down this list of we have key stakeholders present who have recommended amazing lists of many stakeholders, trail stakeholders in our community, including the gentleman you're recommending. I don't know that at this juncture we have time to interview individuals at that front. But I expect that we're going to see from Randy his notes from his individual meetings, and which were phone interviews. Okay. Before I go to the floor, any other comments from the committee? Okay. Is there a new comments from the floor? Okay. Yes.
Visitor impacts for the railroad. I was looking at these overnight visitors, and you know there's a projection of 860 room nights here. Well, I know from another project that I'm working on the O&W that the Super 8 hotel had zero room nights that they could attribute to the train activity last year.
Okay, without getting to this is the place where I'd like to have these kinds of comments brought forward in the form I was talking about next Thursday, because if we start picking apart individual bits of this...
Well, it was basically I was offering these comments now so that the consultants could revisit this as part of their economic analysis so they could come back with some better numbers. Because the Best Western reported 38 room nights. Two closest venues, room venues, to this event. And that's only, that's 5% of the numbers that are being projected here.
So I think one of our questions, I think what we're going to need from you, Gordon, on Monday is to be ready to discuss not only the numbers you presented, but how you arrived at them. I mean, just so the committee can understand all the details of how you got to them in any individual line.
That's right.
Okay, Kathy, Nolan?
Just two things. One is that when you discuss the creation of a new trail, that in all of the literature is an addition to the existing trails, not a subtraction from them. Mm-hmm. That is, that when you add additional trails, especially if they're connected in, you attract greater usage. So though that section where this consultant is offering a different opinion is, in my view, not at all in line with the research that's available across the country. And on the health impacts, the method that the consultant chose to use only addresses mortality. And they use the WHO approach, which, if you added in morbidity, would get you to huge figures in the international context. The figures that are available with very good research that's been replicated in multiple sites shows factors of probably 10 times more when you include morbidity as well as mortality. So I think either some additional work there or a footnote that's only a mortality figure is really relevant.
And I would also say to the public and concerned, if anyone wants to submit written comments in advance of those meetings, please do so, and I'll make sure that they're circulated to the whole committee, because in the same way that it can inform our questions or pique our questions, and that goes for any interested member of the public, concerned stakeholders, etc. Kevin.
Kevin Smith. One clarification. Randy, this is Kevin Smith from the Woodstock Land Conservancy again. You had said that DEP is not in the tourism business. I'd just like to clarify that indeed they are. You don't live up here. You may not be aware of the issues in the DEP watershed and the decade of, shall we say, encouragement on the part of local communities. for DEP to open their lands and provide quality recreation opportunities. Indeed, they are doing that in more and more substantial ways. And this memorandum of understanding with Ulster County is a very tangible expression of that, and one that we're extremely excited about, why we're supporting it. My other comment has to do with, I think, what I see as, and I'm really happy to hear some of the members of the committee stressing that the scope of services that you were requesting was to look at each section of the corridor, trail, rail, rail with trail, rail parallel to trail. That's what I understood. As there's an inbuilt bias here that I think is starting to distort this process in certain ways, and that has especially been accentuated by this expressions of interest, because you don't have these things for trail. And you're looking at certain sections of the corridor that appear to be assumed that they will be railed. So I would like to really reinforce what some of the committee members are saying here, that there are sections of this corridor that would make spectacular trail that previously had been talked about as being future rail, but really look at the fact that you're starting to talk with this rail vendor, that rail vendor. You know, I represent one of the only organizations that put skin in the game here. You know, we invested in a privately financed planning study for the Shokan rail trail. And it was an extensive study, and it was done professionally, and you all are getting the benefit of that work, and we're happy to do that. There are nonprofits who are already engaged in this, including those nonprofits, and they're waiting to see what this committee is going to do and what the disposition of the legislature will be in terms of policy, because there are significant resources that can be brought to bear to really develop this as trail or trail parallel to rail. One last clarification. I believe that there is a previous study looking at rail with trail in the Boyceville to Phoenicia section that identified that section as one of the only sections in the whole corridor that had extensive links that are suitable for rail with trail. And that's the ALTA study, 2006.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Can I just make a comment?
You may, of course.
Because I Carl haven't read the whole thing, but to Kevin.
Thanks.
The Matrix does have suggestions. And that they have a variety of rail with trail, future rail, destination trail usage. So I don't know. I mean, I haven't read this whole thing, but if just at a glance on here, I think there's he did do what we asked him to do,
but
section
water
by
slides.
Section. What's that?
No water slides.
Okay.
Well, one final
what is a water slide?
There are a couple of places where
that was an outline slide.
Sorry,
water
hold on. Can we?
Slide.
There are a couple of places where the consultant seems to imply that there would need to be municipal funding in order to consider some of these things, but there aren't hard figures on the costs. And for me, the part of the feasibility, as Jim said earlier, you need to know what the financial load, the financial weight of various options are in order to really assess feasibility. And I take it when there's a suggestion that the county or some other public entity carry a cost, that cost figure is very high, and I think it would be helpful to see those numbers, especially where there's consideration of whether the county should be involved in it. And a particular case for that is this question of the rail yard, which, to my mind, is an obligation of whatever operator is coming in is to have a facility for themselves, and I hadn't understood that the county would be expected to provide that, but the consultant seems to imply that in a couple of places, so
okay.
If that could be looked at.
Okay. I have Manna and Ken.
I think actual costs are really important, but I also think sources of revenue, and we didn't, that was specifically asked for at the initial meeting, and I'm not seeing that in the report. It may be there, and I'll read it several more times looking for it. For now,
Ken Ron.
I just want to say, after Kathy said that, I have very strong opinions on the ownership of a potential rail yard on the corridor. I don't necessarily think that needs to be in our report necessarily. I mean, it can be, but I don't think that the county cannot own something vital to a rail operation on our on property owned by the county. I don't think that it I don't think that an operator can own something that's going to be necessary to the use of public property, because a lessee on county-owned property would have a competitive advantage forever if they owned something vital to the operation.
Can I speak to that for a second, Tracy?
Randy, yes.
Yeah, the way that I see that handled in operator agreements is that everybody has to agree on the front end as to whether or not the operator is going to have to pay for it and basically how much it is. And then you set basically up a depreciation table so that if the operator, for whatever reason, is no longer in the property, then the county has to buy it back for the depreciated value at that time. It does keep the county out of the building business, but it essentially still retains the value of the asset at a specific value if for some reason something happens, including termination.
Okay. I really want to limit, is it a new comment? Because I don't want, I want these comments from the, from beyond the table to come at the appropriate time, which is probably going to be next Thursday or in writing, because I don't, it's starting to get, I think, a little probably confusing for Randy. I don't want directives in terms of changing the report or what to look into to be coming from anyone other than committee members. So if you're, if you're raising a concern about the report, the appropriate time is really next Thursday or in writing in advance. Right. Does that make sense?
It does, but I think I have two questions.
Tracy, I have another request. Yes.
Okay, hang on, Randy. Yes?
First question is, are these documents available?
Yes, they will be available electronically, correct?
Yeah, I can see if we can put, I don't know if we can put them online, but if I give me your email address, I'm going to send them out to the
We'll get them to email, but we should be able to get them online.
All right, that's the simple one. The one, you can tell me if this is appropriate or not. Okay. I don't know, I'm very new to this in terms of your process and what you're doing here. My name is Lee Kalish. But it seems to me in the quick look of this matrix that you have each of these sections, and it would seem that there should be an amount of money identified for each one of those. If rail only is this much, and trail only is this much, and mixed is this much, and then you can, of course, say, oh, there's money available to do this, or private money is going to take care of that, then there's a business analysis.
Yeah,
this seems very emotional, this document.
No, and that's something, again, that's something I mentioned early on in this process. That's why I don't want this to get away any further, because we got this document late last night. The committee has not had a chance to go through it in detail. And we're going to have a lot of specific questions. I mean, that one's first among mine. I've raised it earlier. So in terms of questions from beyond the committee, I think we would absolutely welcome your questions, your concerns in writing, because it will help us. It'll inform us. People can take it or leave it in advance of our meetings. And then we'll have a forum where we'll also take and hear concerns somehow from designated members of both the rail community and the trail community. But I don't want all of these comments coming from the side to somehow direct Randy or the consultant in terms of changing the report. The key thing is going to be our Monday meeting, going over and asking section by section, and I'm sure we as a committee, we're a big committee, we'll have a lot of questions. Jim, I saw your hand up. Jim Maloney.
A couple of questions, Randy, and this also is to Chris Wegg. Randy, you said you had photographs. Okay, could they be supplied to the committee as part of the report as an appendix? And also,
I can't hear you.
He's asking if you can supply the photographs you discussed.
Chris, do you have some good and bad?
Yeah, where do you want them to, Tracy?
Yeah. Okay. As long as we get them by Monday.
Sure.
And also, there's been a lot of discussion and a lot of points that have been brought up. Is this report, and I'm asking this question, is this report right now in draft form?
Is this report we have, the last one you sent me today, is it in draft form?
With all, I mean, Manna's asking for a couple rewrites. Is this,
That was the
final product.
The final product. Randy, that's a question for you.
Okay, what was the question?
With all the work that needs to be done,
Randy, is this document right now a draft?
I would consider it a draft. I was under an obligation to this committee, but, you know, knowing as many questions as I knew would arise, and even, you know, with what we were running into, I'd consider it a draft at this point.
And I also want to say, per our scope of services, even though the date is pushed because we were looking for a final no later than the 29th, we built into the scope of services a request for a draft for this very reason, so that the committee could speak to questions, speak to concerns, correct errors, get clarification, and give our consultant an opportunity to address all that. So I think that's, you know, we're a couple of days behind the power line, but the end is near, and I think that's the right way to approach it. Dennis. This is Dennis Doyle.
Thanks, Tracy. Just quickly, a lot of the discussion that the committee's been having has been talking about weighing what option is out there. And I would ask you to start to think about how you're going to weigh what recommendations you're going to make. Looking at the report myself, I would say that when you look at the recommendations in the report, clearly what we're looking at is if rail is feasible, it wins. Right, and rail with trail is not feasible, then rail wins. So rail always wins if it's feasible, or trail always takes over if it's not utilizable by the railroad. Yeah. That offers a concern that starts to say, how do you weigh these things when you start looking at real economic numbers, when you start looking at costs, when you start looking at historic significance, when you start looking at community impacts, what weights are you going to use? Clearly, from my look at it now, the consultant weights rail as always preferable to trail if there's a choice to be made. That's the question that the committee has to answer, because it's going to have to, it looks like, in many of these sections, make the choice between rail or trail.
I'm not sure if I follow on that. One of the, I think, major considerations is from the marketing point of view, does this make sense on a business format? You know, there may be a section that looks good as a rail, but it's not worth anything to the bottom line. One of the things that have to be considered is the bottom line, because the bottom line of the railroad should be you should consider it because of taxes. You know, is this going to return to you, the county, for your investment? So that's part of it, as well as all the other things that fit into it. But there's no, does this win, does that win? Also, you can look at it in terms of, is this good on a temporary basis? Is this good on a short-term basis to find out, you know, how it does? Because you've got places where you can invest your time, effort, and money to a better return on, say, a trail section as opposed to a rail section.
Okay.
I mean, there are a lot of things that weigh into it, and I mean, I see it as four sections of railroad.
Okay, we're going to discuss all this stuff on
right,
Monday.
Right. That just pulls it all together, just to, you know, from Dennis to Randy, that's the highest and best use. You may want to get from point A to point B, and it's a great idea, and it makes it better and everything like that. It may not be physically possible or economically feasible. If it's not safe, if you can't build it safely, then you'll wind up putting tons of money into it and still always be going to bed at night saying, Jesus, is that ever going to fall down?
Right.
You know, that's the...
Okay. But I also thought I heard something that basically said that the only return is going to be a railroad and not a trail. And
no.
And
you know,
I know.
That's not... No.
Okay.
No.
Okay,
I thought that's the track he was going down.
All right, we have. I think we need to wrap this up for tonight because we have a lot of work ahead of us. Okay, so we have our meeting scheduled. Everyone has the schedule, which is 6:30 on the 7th, 6 p.m. on the 10th, and tentative, use a pen, 5 p.m. on the 11th. The one outlier here, Dave, for new business, Dave, you had submitted this postcard thing into potential for new business. Did you want to discuss that at this hour?
Well, I could just say very briefly what I did was just so people understand what it was. I tried to make it as neutral as I possibly could. I made no comment about it. It was a lit drop that I sent out between my wife and I. We dropped 2,500 of them. That's what was kept back. They were dropped off at, screen doors and so on and so forth. I really didn't take a stand on it. In fact, Hugh Reynolds made a comment because he's one of my constituents. And he was a little aggravated with me saying that, why didn't you didn't even take a stand on it, Chesterfield? No, I did not. I was trying to just get a survey. I was just curious for my own, for my own interest. I wanted to see what it was, and that's what it is. And so, Nettie, I had them sent to somebody. If they wanted to respond, they would have to put a stamp on it. And, it was part of my little campaign thing at the same time. I had my little brochure on the other side, and then whatever it is, it is. So you can take it for whatever you want to take it for. Mm-hmm. But that's that was the response that was given.
Okay. I'm keeping these comments to the table right now. I have to, unless Hugh Reynolds is here, unless he wants to respond. But I have to.
I had no intentions of bringing this up, but since we're talking about the mailer that Dave did during the election, maybe you can tell us, I've watched for a few weeks on the Access Channel with Ralph Mitchell, him making quite a few statements and opinions. So I don't know how he could say he hasn't made his views known. And I was disturbing because we all pledged.
I can answer that. I never made, I didn't say I didn't make my views known. I did not put it on that card. I did not. In other words, I put it very simple on the card. I asked them for their opinion. If you read it, if you can say that it was slanted, I don't know where it was slanted, but maybe it was. I mean, I just tried to put it out as neutral as I possibly could, and that's what it is. So, yes, I've taken a stand. If anybody, unless you're living under a rock, they know more where I stand on it. I mean,
okay, there's been a motion to adjourn, but Manna had her hand raised, so I'm going to allow Manna the last word before the motion to adjourn, if that's okay.
Briefly, Manna.
It's actually two things. One is I would like to see an independent poll by Marist where we really got the pulse of the county, and I'd like it to be done after the report so people have the benefit of to what degree this can be a consensus report. My other question, did you want to say anything more about the meeting with DEP? There was one reference to it.
We could speak. You want to speak, Herb and I can speak let's speak briefly to it now. Since
what's happening?
The man's asking about the meeting with the DEP. So,
interesting meeting.
Yeah, so it was myself, Herb, Randy, and Chase. Chase is a Stone consultant that the rest of the committee didn't meet, but who was here, I believe, Randy, primarily for track inspection and measurements. So Chase didn't, he was introduced, but he never spoke at the meeting. Randy had the opportunity, and Randy, you can give your reflections as well. Randy had the opportunity to ask questions, and the very brief summary I would give is that they were amazingly cordial, but also amazingly firm.
And amazingly confused.
That'll go to Herb in a second. They stated when asked about the possibility of rail with trail, it was a very firm no, that they wouldn't entertain an alternative. And I did ask the question that you asked me to ask, Manna, and that's why. Herb, correct me, this is my recall of the meeting, was basically that that they were approached by the county, that they believed that it was a unanimous, until they heard about the controversy, they believed that it was a unanimous agreement on the part of the county, and that the proposal to them was very attractive, that they spend a tremendous amount of money policing the roads that run close to the reservoir, and that they felt that it was appealing to them. Am I overstating it? That they wouldn't entertain an alternative. They absolutely
said might have if it was originally given, if that was originally presented to them, but several years ago when they were approached and they were very adamant to say that we didn't go looking for a deal. We were happy just the way we were. But that was the only proposal that they brought, the county brought to them, and they said originally they may have also looked at rail with trail.
And they also did recognize the right for it to be rail. I mean, they reiterated that rail or trail.
Well, how many years has it been that they wouldn't allow any accessibility? So now all of a sudden they're saying, oh, if you came to us, we'd let you put the train there, or we'd let you put a train.
So we're just talking about our train. Herb, did you want to add anything to...
No, it's just that they were very confused that we were coming to them at this date after...
They're doing this because...
A resolution had been signed, the agreement was signed, the money was in the bank, and now we're asking the question of, can we do rail with trail, or is that a possibility? And they said if that was on the table when this discussion was brought to them, they may have entertained it. But at this point in time, no.
Yeah, it was very clear, no, no, no. Yes,
Carl.
I have Carl.
I'm confused on the timeline. I'm confused on the timeline because during the public hearing that we had on the FAD, the commissioner of the DEP sent in his testimony, and he emailed it to me, which basically stated that besides the money they were going to give the county $2.5 million to develop that area, that and it seemed to me in the letter that it was a gift from the DEP, and that was in 2013. I believe it was, I'm thinking it was September that we held that public hearing.
December. On the FAD?
No, the FAD.
You said the FAD. Is it?
Yeah.
You mean on the IGA?
On the filtration avoidance determination. We held public hearings FAD. During that meeting, Mr. Bolger, who was Chris Gibson's Congressman, Gibson's aide, read the testimony that was sent to me because it was sent to all the public officials. And I do remember the county executive staff scrambling to come up with some kind of statement right after that was read. And in that statement was read that the DEP was like a gift to the county of $2.5 million. And I'm just thinking that was 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. So that all kind of ties in with what you're saying about being approached by
when we
county
first
instead of
this committee,
those, I think those
really
are two separate concepts.
Yeah, but when we first
the filtration avoidance and the and
no,
the
it doesn't matter about the filtration avoidance. It matters about that corridor and the usage of it and the money given to the county.
Okay.
I mean, the FAD is only
point of clarification with
first
her.
Time
then I have
heard.
Dave Donaldson next, but I don't want to. I don't want to spend hours. So I'm tired.
And previous to making our resolution about trail, did review that DEP for two or three years prior to had put the money in their budget for the county, the $2.5 million. Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't mysteriously put it in their budget if there wasn't some discussions or negotiations going on. I mean, I don't put things in my budget for things I don't know about.
Right.
So DEC obviously knew that, you know, this was on, DEP knew this was on the table several years ago. Probably
yes,
3 years.
3 years
well,
ago.
3 or 4 years.
Yes, well, we all know that.
I have Dave Donaldson.
All right, well, so basically it was done without the legislature knowing anything about it beforehand and then came up later on. But besides that, did you ask if about getting to Glenford Dyke, would they entertain just a part of that, or can the same thing coming from the other end?
Yes, I asked.
And
the answer was no.
No
rail with trail.
All right. So what we had, in other words, so that's what their stand is, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't change if we push the issue.
That's what they're saying.
And the idea.
Okay, the question is, what was their answer about rail with trail? It was a unilateral no.
They said
right.
They
right.
already had an agreement with the county, and yeah. why would they go back and revisit it?
Yeah,
I want to make a comment on.
But the agreement that was
the table because we need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, can I finish here? The agreement that was done with the county, when it was sold to the legislature, the idea was they were getting us $2.5 million for the study, but we are not locked into doing a trail. But we are, in other words, I mean, that's the agreement.
That's not true. You're making
that's what we had all those special meetings.
Yes, oh my God.
Yeah, okay.
If I may.
Jeanette, this
yeah,
is going to
be. Because
I
want to make a comment on
yes.
this. Because of Herb's interpretation of what happened at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, in the last 24 and a half years, Catskill Mountain Railroad could have went to the DEP and gotten permission to put a railroad around a reservoir.
No. They don't need it.
There's already a railroad.
No, but they could have.
I don't know.
They know the tracks are there.
They could
of
run
course.
A train
they
through that right
still.
Away. They have that right. Today.
Yeah.
Or 6 months.
They acknowledge
a
that.
A year ago, 6 months ago,
tomorrow.
5 years
ago,
ago, tomorrow,
yeah.
that right is still there.
But
that's the part of the.
They acknowledge that.
Our part is really important.
Okay. I know. I'm trying to get to the last one.
We have a letter.
Dennis, in deference. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I just much appreciate. I'll be very quick, just so everyone understands. When we did the ALTA study in 2005, we specifically asked DEP that similar question: would they accept rail with trail? They specifically said no.
Right. So, we have letters to that effect.
So there,
well,
there are letters to that effect. So if they're confused now, they weren't confused in
2005. Well,
no,
they heard us at the meeting that they're confused why we're there.
They're confused about why we were there.
Why we were there, but yeah. they did concede that the county has the right. To run
absolutely.
A train
oh,
right away.
Yeah. Yeah, they've always said no rail with trail.
Yeah.
Since
yeah, absolutely. Okay, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I already made that half an hour ago.
All right. Please be well prepared on Monday.
Where's this?